very good Monday and welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature agricultural news reports, I'll bring you a look at national and regional agricultural news headlines, and I'll start with regional ag news right after this.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humic Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
According to Marcon Cooperative, large-size Mexican avocado supplies, 32 to 48-count fruit, remain tight. Smaller sizes are being substituted for the large-size shortages. In California, yields continue to diminish week over week as the season starts to wind down. The crop is currently dominated by 48 and 60-count number one grade fruit. Quality is good, although checkerboarding has been reported, and growers do expect stable pricing. The California Department of Food and Agriculture is announcing vacancies on the Shipping Point Inspection Advisory Committee. SPI advises the CDFA Secretary on all matters pertaining to the Shipping Point Inspection Program, which provides third-party grading and certification services to the fruit, nut, and vegetable industries throughout the state, ensuring that California's specialty crops meet identified quality standards. The program supports agricultural producers, packers, shippers, and processors by providing a nationally and internationally recognized grading and certification service. The committee, with the exception of the public member, is composed of shippers and fruit and vegetables using the inspection certification services of the CDFA. Current vacancies include 6 member positions, 1 public member position, and 9 alternate member positions. The public member must be a resident of the state of California and not a producer, shipper, or processor, nor be financially interested in any producer, shipper, or processor. Alternate members are appointed for each member and serve only in the absence of the designated member. The term of office for committee members is 2 years. Members receive no compensation but are entitled to payment of necessary traveling expenses in accordance with the rules of the California Department of Human Services. Individuals interested in being considered for an appointment should complete the prospective member appointment questionnaire, which is available on the CDFA website. U.S. almond prices fell to 20-year lows recently as concerns over large ending stocks weighed on markets ahead of harvest. The Mintec benchmark prices for standard 5% almonds FAS U.S. were assessed at $1.40 a pound recently, the lowest price for the benchmark since January of 2003. The drop was being attributed to clearing activity, with some sellers who still possess large volumes of standard 5% material looking to free up space ahead of harvest. Despite the low prices, the appetite for these supplies was mixed, with holidays in Europe and ample supplies at destination limiting demand. Looking forward, market participants expect supply to continue to outweigh demand, with stocks close to the 800 million pound mark and a USDA objective almond measurement of 2.50 billion pounds, placing total supply north of 3 billion pounds for the 2023-2024 season. Estimates for July almond shipments were reported in a range of 170 to 200 million pounds, with most market participants returning figures of 175 to 190 million pounds. If realized, a July shipment figure of 180 million pounds would be an increase of 6% year over year and 7% below the 3-year average for the month. The University of California, Davis has released five new strawberry varieties that are resistant to the soil-borne disease Fusarium wilt, have high yields, and improved fruit quality. The breeding research was supported by a $6.2 million specialty crop research initiative grant from USDA's National Institute of Food and Agriculture. UC Eclipse, UC Golden Gate, UC Keystone, UC Monarch, and UC Surefine are available for sale to California nurseries from Foundation Plant Services. Roughly 88% of strawberries grown in a nation come from California. Fusarium wilt is one of the most common reasons for crop loss and death, and yet 55 to 59% of cultivars planted in the state since 2014 have not been resistant, according to UC Davis research. Breeding disease-resistant cultivars is essential to protecting the environment, creating a sustainable future for farmers, and ensuring that consumers continue to enjoy nutritious, safe, and affordable fresh fruits and vegetables. That, according to Tom Bewick, NYFA National Program Leader in the Division of Plant Systems Production. This is the first release from the UC Davis Strawberry Breeding Program, where all the cultivars have Fusarium wilt resistance. They are meant to replace susceptible plants on the market, such as Monterey, UCD Royal Royce, and UCD Valiant. Monarch was also developed specifically as a prototype for mechanical harvesting, another first out of the breeding program, which dates back to the 1930s and has released 72 patent cultivars over the decade. Fusarium wilt did not present much of a danger to strawberry crops until after the fumigant methyl bromide was phased out of use in the United States in 2005, but the pathogen had always been in the soil, and cases of wilt appeared a year later and increased over time, leading to concerns that a Fusarium wilt pandemic could destroy the crop in California. The disease has taken off fast, and they need to act quickly to address the need, according to Glenn Cole, a breeder and field manager with the Strawberry Breeding Program. Knapp said the program tries to encourage people to consider things like disease resistance and routinely invites growers and other experts to events showcasing research breakthroughs and improved cultivars. Drawing from the worlds of big business, athletics, and global technology strategy and innovation, the International Fresh Produce Association Global Produce and Floral Show keynote lineup for 2023 includes speakers chosen to inspire attendees to greater heights in their businesses and their careers. The global show is a force for discovery and dialogue about trends and topics of importance to the industry, according to Doug Bohr, IFPA Chief Education and Programs Officer. He says they are bringing global thought leaders and influencers to share their perspectives and experiences to inform and inspire members. The global show will be October 19th through the 21st in Anaheim, California, and will feature IFPA CEO Kathy Burns, who will present the Can't Miss State of the Industry presentation, which will explore opportunities for the global produce and floral community in the areas of technology and innovation, sustainability, talent attraction and workforce development, consumer trends, and advocacy. The Global Leaders Panel later that day will be moderated by Patrick Vizzone, Managing Director and Head of Agri-Food and Impact Investment at Franklin Templeton Global Private Equity. Speakers include Judith McKenna, President of Walmart International, who will talk about retail consumer trends, Elliot Grant, CEO of Mineral, who will address technical innovation in agriculture, Johnny C. Taylor, CEO of Society for Humane Resource Management, who will talk about talent trends, including diversity, equity, and inclusion. The general session on Friday, October 20th, will feature Steve Wozniak, co-founder of Apple, tech entrepreneur and computer scientist, who will examine technological innovation and the future of technology. And there is a lot more on the schedule. For information, log on to freshproduce.com.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humic Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
Last month, the Almond Board of California Board of Directors selected Clarice Turner, an experienced global leader in consumer goods, food service, and wine spirits, as the next president and CEO. Turner is joining the Almond Board of California after most recently serving as president of iconic Napa Valley winery Joseph Phelps Vineyards. She has also held CEO and senior executive positions at Boudin Bakery, Starbucks Coffee Company, Yum Brands, Papa Murphy's International, and PepsiCo. Alexi Rodriguez of Campos Brothers Farms and Almond Board of California Board of Directors Chair Describe the process of selecting the perfect candidate to lead the state's almond industry in an interview with the Almond Board.
The firm that we worked with was Russell Reynolds, and the search committee and I, very early on in the process, decided that we didn't want to be so specific that we would potentially miss out on candidates. So we tried to be fairly broad, but also make sure that this candidate had some of the key components. The most important being experience with and strategic leadership with an emphasis on marketing and driving global demand.
For Rodriguez and the board, finding the best person for the job didn't necessarily mean finding someone with an active presence in the almond industry, which helped broaden the search parameters and go into the process with an open mind. Turner's background includes big names as an experienced marketer. Rodriguez agreed this was an important quality for a candidate.
The stars sort of aligned for us. We knew that we were going to be asking a lot of this CEO, and so it was inherent that the candidate would have some deep executive experience. Lucky for us, Clarice has everything that we were looking for and then some. Clarice's resume speaks for itself. We could probably go on and on just about how impressive she is as a candidate. You know, she's head of global food at Starbucks. Her most recent role at Joseph Phelps, she did a great job in getting them ready to sell. What really stood out to us was that not only does she have all of this wonderful experience, but Clarice actually has a personal connection to the Central Valley. And she is incredibly passionate about California agriculture. And so it's her passion coupled with the experience that she has that really made her stand out very early in the process.
As for recruiting a CEO goes, this process was a quick but efficient one, totaling 8 months from current CEO Richard Waycott's announcement of leaving to Turner being chosen and accepting the position in July.
I was actually surprised at how efficient the process was. When we first started, there was a lot of just unknowns. You know, we have had the good fortune of having Richard for 21 plus years. So we wanted to be really intentional about how we framed this position for the next CEO. And then we wanted to be sure we gave ourselves enough time to find the right person. And so there was a lot of back and forth on how long this search should take. And ultimately what we decided on is, okay, we were going to aim for the end of this crop year. And that way that gave us a little bit of runway between when Richard announced his retirement and if we needed some more time to find the right candidate. Lucky for us, we've found our candidate almost to the date of when we were hoping to find, now in this case, her. And we are fortunate to have some time for her to learn the industry before Richard's eventual departure at the end of this year.
Big thanks to Almond Board of California for letting us use this audio. You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Charlstrom.
Imports play a vital and increasingly important role in ensuring that fresh fruit and vegetables are available year-round in the United States. Since the 2008 completion of the transition to tariff and quota-free trade among Mexico, Canada, and the United States under the North American Free Trade Agreement, U.S. fresh fruit and vegetable imports have increased with few interruptions. Between 2007 and 2021, the percent of U.S. fresh fruit and vegetable availability supplied by imports grew from 50 to 60% for fresh fruit and from 20 to 38% for fresh vegetables, excluding potatoes, sweet potatoes, and mushrooms. The import share increased by more than 20 percentage points during this period for 10 crops, which include asparagus, avocados, bell peppers, blueberries, broccoli, cauliflower, cucumbers, raspberries, snap peas, and tomatoes. The United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, implemented on July 1st of 2020, continues NAFTA's market access provisions for fruits and vegetables. In 2022, Mexico and Canada supplied 51% and 2% respectively of U.S. fresh fruit imports and 69% and 20% respectively of U.S. fresh vegetable imports in terms of value. USA meteorologist Brad Rippey with a look on how the cotton crop is progressing.
Taking a look at the U.S. cotton crop for the week ending August 6th, 63% of the crop setting bolls on the 6th of August, equal to the five-year average, and behind last year's 67%. And we also have our first look at cotton bolls open for the week ending August 6th. National number coming in at 8% 5-year average, 9%. Last year at this time, 9%. You can see some of the effect of the extreme heat in Arizona really pushing that crop along. 39% of Arizona's cotton bowls open on August 6th, 5-year average is just 23%. The only other state into double digits for cotton bowls opening by August 6th is Texas, 12%, equal to the 5-year average.
As for the condition of the cotton crop?
Cotton condition, not a whole lot of change. Certainly no change in the good to excellent ratings this week. 41% were steady from last week. But we did see another increase in the very poor to poor ratings. Current number nationally is 34%. Last week, 31%. So compared to last year, a little better overall. We were just at 31% good to excellent and 34% very poor to poor a year ago. But just like last week, it's really Texas driving this number higher. We have 55% of the Texas cotton crop rated very poor to poor. Some of the southern and eastern production areas faring worse due to extreme heat and drought. And that number is up from last week's 50%.
Once again, USA meteorologist Brad Rippey. In a recent letter to the National Farmers Union from the Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Michael Reagan, he said nothing in the Clean Air Act forbids farmers and independent repair shops from making emissions and other repairs to agriculture equipment. Equipment manufacturers often say the Clean Air Act doesn't allow farmers and independent repair shops to repair emissions equipment, raising concerns about liability for improper or even potentially dangerous repairs. Reagan went a step further in telling the group that the Clean Air Act actually encourages such repairs. Crucially, the Clean Air Act makes no distinction between repair by a manufacturer versus another party, he said in a letter that was sent in response to a June letter from NFU President Rob LaRue. He went on to say the actions that qualify as repair or replacement are allowed under the Clean Air Act regardless of who makes them. Moreover, nothing in the Clean Air Act or the EPA's regulations limits a manufacturer's ability to provide service tools and information to consumers and independent repair facilities for the purpose of repairing their equipment. Reagan went on to say in a letter that the Clean Air Act denotes Congress's concern about the ways in which manufacturers might impede the ability of other parties to repair regulated equipment and puts in place safeguards to prevent that from happening. For example, the law prohibits manufacturers from writing their service instructions in a way that steers end users away from independent repairs. Reagan said there is a section in the Clean Air Act that seeks to ensure that equipment owners know their options for independent repair by requiring that the manufacturer shall provide in boldface type on the first page of the written maintenance instructions, notice that maintenance, replacement, or repair of the emission control devices and systems may be performed by any automotive repair establishment or individual. A multi-industry coalition has outlined recommended changes to the Waters of the U.S. rule in a letter they sent to the Biden administration. Farm News reporter Michael Clements.
The Waters Advocacy Coalition this week sent recommendations to the Environmental Protection Agency and Army Corps of Engineers regarding the final Waters of the United States rule as it relates to the Supreme Court decision in Sackett v. EPA. Courtney Briggs, American Farm Bureau Federation Senior Director of Government Affairs, says the coalition is a multi-industry alliance based in Washington, D.C.
We have about 45 trade organizations that represent a large portion of the national economy. We are everything from farming and agriculture to construction to manufacturing, energy development, transportation infrastructure, and recreation. So we cover a large gamut of the national economy.
The letter outlines the recommendations the coalition would like to see in a new WOTUS rule.
The agencies have stated that they intend to make surgical fixes, and it appears that the agencies will forego public comment and stakeholder engagement and take the rule that they finalized earlier this year and simply strike language from the rule related to significant nexus as well as the definition of adjacency. So we are simply reminding the agencies that that is not a defensible response to Sackett or an appropriate approach to the rulemaking.
Briggs expects a new final rule within a couple of months.
The agencies are using their good cause exemption to bypass the formal rulemaking process, which will allow them to finalize this rule at lightning speed. So they have said that they will have a finalized rule complete before September 1st. And our fear is that the agencies aren't going to make all the necessary changes to ensure that this rule respects the holding in Sackett.
Michael Clements, Washington.
Organic fresh produce grew slightly in sale dollars and volume in the second quarter of 2023, reversing a trend of volume loss seen in 2021 and 2022. Overall, organic fresh produce dollar sales increased by 1.5% for quarter two 2023 compared with the same period last year.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.